Hey, guess what? It's almost New Year's. You know what that means? Nope, you don't. It just means another episode of Death Heads and Hiddlestoners. Here we go. I'm Jen.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are going to be talking about one of the most iconic composers for the last, what, 40 years? Or so?
Since the 80s, I'd say.
Early 90s. Danny Elfman has made a huge name for himself, not only as a member of the 80s band Oingo Boingo, but as one of the premier music composers for the big screen cinematic productions. He has done amazing things. Before we get into that, however, do we have any Johnny or Tom news?
No.
Me as well. And I have been scouring the...
Is now okay?
Yeah. Okay. But I have been scouring the internet, and everybody's remained fairly quiet, which is a norm for Tom Hiddleston, not so much for Johnny. So maybe he's actually learned, you know, less is more in certain things.
Yeah, well, and you know, we're kind of doing research, and we like to do up-to-date research, like within the week, and we're in the holiday times.
Right.
You know, so surely it's going to be a little slow.
So now everything is calmed down there in Mobile. I know they were recording one of Hiddleston's movies there, in Mobile for a while.
That's right.
So everything is calmed down.
And I believe they are finished.
Yeah. Okay. And no, I did not get arrested. No, I did not go to Mobile and try to meet anybody.
Yep. You were good.
I'm always good. Okay, good or good at it just depends.
Correct.
But, yeah.
You are a good girl. Moving on.
All right. And we are coming up on the New Year's celebrations and all that kind of good stuff in just a few days. Guys,
yeah.
I'm going to say this in all honesty. I am not joking around. I am being serious. It is amateur night out there on New Year's Day. Don't be stupid. Okay? Don't drink and drive. Don't do that kind of stupid stuff. You know, you want to go out, you want to party, you want to get drunk, you want to get high, you want to do whatever, go for it. Do what you want to do. Don't impinge on someone else's freedom, livelihood, or any other, you know, by getting in that car and attempting to drive when you are not fully functioning. Don't do it. It's stupid. At the least, it could land you in jail with lots and lots and lots of money to have to pay back. At most, you could kill somebody. You don't want that on your conscience. Don't do it.
Yeah, and you know, as much as you want to get home and as much as you were in control, you have no idea how bad you are. You know, how bad off you are. You're not the guy that's gonna, you know, fool the cops and drive a straight line and be an inch ready and get home in time, so.
Right.
Don't do it.
You know, is it worth risking? I mean, if your child or your mother was on the road, would you want someone else in the same shape you're in behind the wheel of a car?
Yeah.
Think about it that way. You know,
Put yourself in the other person's. Yes.
There are Ubers. There are lifts. There are, hell, there's a back seat in your car. And if not, the front seat reclines at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep it off. Don't get behind the wheel. Don't drive.
And, you know, if you're a rebel, a punk rocker, you know, or something like that, like us, it is, in fact, so punk and so just rock and roll to get drunk and say, you know what? This car is awesome. I've slept in it before. And you sleep in your car.
Damn
don't
right.
Drive it. Don't drive it.
Hell yeah.
Be like Meatloaf.
Absolutely.
Those shows, he's like, park the van, boys. I'm parking the van. We can't drive.
Yep.
Hit the rest stop.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, just don't risk it, guys. We don't want to lose any of y'all, and we don't want y'all to have to live with the fact of vehicular homicide for the rest of your life. You know, that's not a pleasant thing. So
yeah, just those words, vehicular homicide. Don't be that person.
Don't be that person.
Vehicular homicide.
Yeah, don't be that person.
Don't be that person.
It's just not worth it, guys. It's one night. It'll be all right.
It'll be all
right. Right.
Anyway, I'm climbing down off my soapbox now.
Yeah.
It's a good soapbox.
It's something I feel extremely strongly about. I've had one. Oh, I'm getting feedback again, baby.
I am literally just sitting here.
I've had one DUI in my entire life, and that was 18 years ago. That one DUI cost me over $135,000 between court costs, probation fees, getting my license, situated, everything. Yeah, cost me around $135,000. Took me about 4.5 years to get everything taken care of. So even just on the light end of things, okay, so you decide to drink and drive, you get busted, you go to jail for 6 hours, and then you have all of this, and it's on your record for years. Yeah, no. No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yep, just one night.
So, yeah, if you're going to party, at least party someplace with, with friends or have a DD. There are those. Most people think they're actually mythical creatures. They're really not. There are people out there who don't drink. But,
you can also kind of do it like Johnny Depp. Be Johnny Depp. He would, to get through all of that, he would simply host the party.
There you go. And then when he was ready to go to bed, he just went up to his room and went to bed.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you know what? If you're a nice enough dude or dudette, anybody that's too drunk to drive, you can totally sleep on my couch, sleep on my floor. We've got an inflatable mattress. We can actually put a couple of comforters in the bathtub, and that is fantastic sleeping.
There you go.
Experience.
Well, see, and hopefully the cops won't be knocking on my door tomorrow. When I was up north with my twins, with Faye and Mars.
Yeah.
When they hit a certain age, we knew they were going to be drinking.
Okay.
It's not a secret. We would not help them get alcohol. We would not condone the use of alcohol. But we would allow them to host New Year's Eve parties at the house. And whoever came to the New Year's Eve party, Mama took their keys. When you got to the New Year's Eve party, you were here to stay unless you could prove to me you were sober before you left.
Nice. That's a good principle.
So, and all the kids' parents knew that Mama was taking the keys and that nobody was going to be driving unless Mama thought it was okay. So, yeah, I have kids. All of my kids are, but one, are of driving age now. So, yeah. And my twins, Carrie, my twins will be 21 in January.
That's
scary.
Yeah. Well, and you know, while we're on the subject of the New Year's, and you're segueing perfectly into it, we're going into 2024, a time of, you know, your own personal goals, sure, but, you know, we're moving on into the kids are getting older, maybe your parents are getting older.
Oh, God.
And it's nice to kind of, you know, keep those things. And I don't know, I feel pretty good about it. And if, you know, you want to do some sort of self-improvement and you want to help others along in your family, this is a great time to kind of reflect on that and think about what you can do to make all of these things happen.
Right. And yeah, speaking of parents getting older, you know, my mother has had some health issues in the past. She's had back surgery. She had a stroke while she was in surgery for her back. Lost quite a bit of vision. So she's had some obstacles to overcome. Well, my sister has moved her to Florida and my mother is doing so much better. She went to a concert this summer. Now, my mother could not stand up and walk to the bathroom 30 feet away without hurting when she was here.
Wow.
So she went to a concert this summer. My sister says she was on her feet the whole time. Said she looked like she lost 20 years when she walked in the door.
What was the concert?
It was Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Toto. And Loverboy.
Damn!
Yep.
That's the hell of a show, and that'll take some years off you.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, she called me Christmas at about 11 o'clock in the morning and then called me again at, like, 1:30.
Yeah.
Didn't remember talking to me the first time.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Wow. All right.
But she's in her mid-70s. So, you know, not real... Yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm not, like, overly concerned about it.
Letting off steam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, she's... I'm going to see her next week. Matter of fact, I'm leaving... See, today's Thursday. I'm leaving in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. To go down and see my mom, my sister, and... say hi and all that kind of cool stuff. So, that's going to be fun. South Florida. Got to love it. It's like 45, 50-ish degrees here. It's like 75, 80-ish degrees there. I can't wait.
Yeah, you know, no kidding. I was literally going to bring up very quickly, general listener, I don't know where you are in the world as you listen to us, but... take it from us, Central to South Florida in New Year's, it's a pretty good place to be. It's a pretty good place to be.
Hell yeah.
You know, I remember New Year's a few years ago when I was married. I did some pictures of, it was maybe 76 degrees here on the Gulf Coast, and I was grilling some steaks. And I was flexing a little bit and sending out pictures. I was like, yeah, this is how we do it here on the Gulf Coast.
Hey, you are the grill master.
And I am. I'm so proud of myself. Beautiful cuts of meat. Pictures of me just enjoying myself with a beer. You're right, and the meat was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Kielbasa's, some steaks, and some great Angus burgers.
Oh,
man. And
you're making me hungry.
Huh?
You're making me hungry.
I know. This is what we bring to the table New Year's. Even though it's even better on Super Bowl, but I digress. Anyway, my mother-in-law is in Oklahoma, and she said, you know, that's a really great time. Looks fantastic. Just wanted you to know, here in Oklahoma, we had a killing frost that killed, like, four people and countless, you know,
livestock and crops. And
ladies and gentlemen, New Year's in Central to South Florida is pretty fucking sweet.
Oh, that's okay. New Year's in Illinois. I'm not talking, I'm talking upper to mid Illinois, okay? Not southern Illinois. All right. Negative 25 degrees was the high temperature 3 years ago. Yeah, negative 25 was the, let me reiterate, was the high temperature. It got down to about negative 40 at night.
As you know, it's not funny. That being said, I cannot wait for the fantastic time you're going to have this New Year's.
Oh, man.
Comparatively speaking.
Actually, this New Year's, I'm going to be working. I work the day before New Year's. I work New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and the day after. So, not going to be a whole lot of partying on my schedule. However, Super Bowl, totally different story.
This is another rabbit hole. We should talk about Elfman. We should talk about Elfman, but if you want to go there, you know what? Let's save it. Actually, I would like to please, and I'm going to let me run the show. I would love to do a pre-Super Bowl show, and it will focus on Johnny and Tom, and I will tie them to the NFL.
You're on.
Bet.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, I'll tell you what. We will record this show. Guys, I will post it on the blog too. We're going to record this on the 10th, which is the day before the Super Bowl. We will have a 1 hour Johnny Depp, Tom Hiddleston Super Bowl blowout. How about that?
Love it, love it, love it.
Carrie will be in charge, so it's all on you, baby. Have you put your information on the blog yet?
No.
What's funny is from the other end of the studio, I hear, no.
No.
Barry was like, no.
We've had like a disaster a day at work when I thought I was going to run around in my Pikachu onesie, but things have happened in the past 5 freaking days.
The Pikachu onesie or the Eeyore onesie? I like the Eeyore onesie.
I was kind of thinking the Pikachu onesie because it's lighter and it's kind of a warm summer. God damn it. Wow, we're really getting deep into my life, people. This is awful.
Carrie, we love you.
Man, just don't tell my bosses.
Yeah, I really doubt they're going to be listening to the podcast, so.
No, but that being said, all right, I am going to, hopefully nothing is going on tomorrow, and I'll do it, I promise.
All right, well, if nothing else, I'm going to force you to do it before we do the show on the 10th.
All right, very good. Which, by the way, the show on the 10th, the date of the 10th is appropriate because you're right. I totally misspoke and said that the Super Bowl was going to be on the 10th.
Yes.
Right, so it makes sense that we do this show on the 10th. You know what? Hey, Jen, that's what I meant the whole time.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking ahead.
I'm telling you, I know. I know. All right. So we have about 20 minutes or about 40 minutes to discuss Danny Elfman. Now, I'm going to give you the floor because you knew Danny Elfman a little bit more than I did back when he was Oingo Boingo.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it came from his days with Oingo Boingo, and I didn't realize it when I look at his first... My first exposure, and I dare say probably 90% of the listeners, you know, it was through a Tim Burton film that we first heard, you know, Danny Elfman's...
I can tell you my first...
Yeah.
Batman, when he did the score for Batman.
Okay, yeah, okay.
That was when it brought, well, that's when Danny Elfman's name first came to my attention.
You know, I noticed, okay, and let me supplement that. Batman came out in 89.
Yes.
Okay. He did Big Top Pee Wee in 88.
That was Elfman?
Yes, that was Elfman.
Wow.
He did Beetlejuice in 88.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Beetlejuice.
Well, you know what? That being said, it was just like, yeah, I don't know who did the music. That sounded really interesting. And it was really interesting and great. And he was killing it at that point, but we really didn't know who Danny Elfman was when Batman's soundtrack came out, and it was so flippin' high profile. Everybody had the Batman shirts, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was real. It was a serious fashion statement, guys. Like, a Batman t-shirt was kind of a...
And you could only get... You could not find unlicensed.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, no,
it was the high dollar, the big, you know, it had to have the they put the kibosh on the unlicensed shit right quick, fast, in a hurry.
They did the little, you know, like copyright DC Comics, and you knew that it was legit. It was almost like a little fashion label thing.
Right, and if it didn't have that copyright DC Comics, people are going, whatever.
You got that trash for $5 at the flea market. You know what? That flea market's not going to be, you know, that stand is not going to be there in 2 weeks because they are bringing the kibosh on that ass.
Oh, yeah, they're bringing it down because they did not put up with that shit, not even a little bit.
And I look back at the Big Top Pee Wee, you know, and the Beetlejuice soundtracks, and I'm like, yep, that's definitely Danny Elfman, but into American culture and us going like, what's that sound? It really seems like it was Batman.
Elfman claimed, now Elfman says out of his own mouth, he says he does not have a style. That may be true, but if you hear a score, you know it's Elfman.
Yeah, and you know what? It can be totally different from something Elfman's already done. I mean, it's always still pretty goddamn original.
Right. Everything he does.
Yeah.
He refuses to have a, quote, style, because he wants to push himself in many different directions.
Sure.
And
he does.
Now, there's only two. Now, okay, when you hear Danny Elfman, what's the first director you think of?
Burton, certainly.
Absolutely. There are only two Tim Burton films that Danny Elfman has not done the score for.
Okay, that is a stunning piece of trivia. What are these two films?
Okay, one I mentioned before, Ed Wood. Howard Shore did Ed Wood.
Wow.
The second, Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber, Fleet Street.
Yeah, that's again my ignorance of not knowing anything about Sweeney Todd.
We're going to rectify that.
And I can't wait to see it.
If you want to. I'm not going to force you to watch it, baby.
Well, listen, that being said, you've got a lot of people that are die hard, like it's niche, die hard Sweeney Todd fans. When you talk about the tipper, the Sweeney Todd, and the kind of Johnny Depp too, you're kind of in that personally.
Yeah.
You
really are.
I know how much you get, and we all know how much you like it. When you're watching it, knowing it's a Tim Burton film and Howard Shore does the music, is it terribly noticeable?
That's a yes and no. That's a great. It's noticeable that it's not Elfman.
Okay.
Because Tim Burton, Danny Elfman. You know, mm-hmm. Tim Burton, Danny Elfman. Edward Scissorhands, Tim Burton, Danny Elfman.
Sure.
You know,
Mark Attacks.
Beetlejuice, Tim Burton, Danny Elfman.
Oh, yeah.
All of these movies, Tim Burton, Danny Elfman. It's very noticeable that it's not Elfman. But it's still a really cool soundtrack. I mean, it does not detract from the movie in any way.
Well, and, you know, we talked earlier before we went on the show. We started, I'm like, Howard Shore, he's a composer, right? When you brought up Howard
right.
Shore. And when we go down the rabbit hole, actually, Howard Shore, you could almost argue maybe sometime in 2024, you can kind of do a show.
Oh, yeah.
Howard Shore.
Oh, yeah. That's
very accomplished.
That is definitely a rabbit hole we're going to have to go down. Blues Brothers is another.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, you know, Blues Brothers, he did all of the music for the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I just meant Blues Brothers as a show. Simply because I am a sucker for Belushi. So.
So many reasons to, you know.
God, yes.
Belushi was great. Belushi and Johnny Depp, oh my God, that hotel would have been destroyed.
Oh my God, there would not have been a hotel left standing. Destroyed a room? He destroyed a room? No. The entire hotel got leveled. They have no idea who brought the explosives. Where the damn, you know.
If it must be done, put them on the top floor. By no means do you put those two on the first floor.
Oh, no. No. You put them on the top floor next to the fire escape.
Right.
Oh, here's a bit of trivia.
Okay.
Danny Elfman's mother, Claire, is an author of children's books.
Oh. Wow.
So that is interesting.
That is interesting.
This kind of pisses me off. Huh?
He's apparently from a creative family.
Extremely.
You know, his brother, yeah.
Extremely. He's got aunts, uncles, cousins, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws.
You know, he and his brother co-founded the, you know, Boingo Boingo and did the film Forbidden Zone.
Right.
Which was Elfman's first, actually it's his first acting role as well as soundtrack composer.
Oh! Okay. I'm blown away now. Danny Elfman is the voice behind all five songs in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Huh. I'm kind of blown away too.
Yep, that was him. He recorded singing it in different ways and played with the audio to make the voices sound high, low pitched, whatever.
Yeah.
He also learned how to breathe fire as a street performer in Paris after he graduated high school.
Yeah. You know, we could have actually kind of started this podcast by mentioning Danny Elfman's a freak, ladies and gentlemen.
Which is why he's on the show.
In a good way. This guy is eclectic. He's very possibly crazy.
Join the club.
Yeah. So,
I've
done the show a little sooner, perhaps.
You know, I've never been classified as completely sane myself. Not since I was like maybe four.
Yeah. Elfman is definitely for you. We have to turn you on to some Oingo Boingo.
Oh, I love Oingo Boingo.
Yeah. We mentioned them, and I think I did for one of the years in the 80s. But Oingo Boingo did one particular album, and it was Dead Man's Party.
Right.
And it was incredible, and it got a lot of play on 120 Minutes on MTV.
Yep, and wasn't Dead Man's Party also featured on the movie Weird Science?
That's right. They were the house band.
Right.
Which is a connection, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, to Robert Downey Jr.
Which is a connection to both Depp and Hiddleston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, they were the house band for the boys. And yeah, and it was classic weird Danny Elfman, apparently.
Yep.
Totally duplicated what one of their live shows were going to be like, because they weren't actors and they were supposed to be a house band. And it was actually, I remember that movie very distinctly. I can still recall scenes, and one of them was straight up their performance of Dead Man's Party.
Right when they were sitting outside, right around, right by the pool.
Yeah, and they were playing their instruments, and they kind of gave you, like...
And they had those, the friggin' long jackets with the dark lapels and the glitter everywhere else.
And he was doing the weird looks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was doing kind of the creepy but cool looks. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, I mean, I was like, that's a cool band guy, but didn't make the connection between the Oingo Boingo lead singer and guitarist to the guy that did the Batman music. That blew my mind.
Right. Okay, here's something else that's going to blow your mind. All right, he did the original score for Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. Okay, now we're talking the originals, not Marvel. The Sony version. All right, he did not return to do Spider-Man 3 because of creative differences with Sam Raimi. He and Sam Raimi had a falling out, let's say. Instead, he turned around to produce the musical score for the 2006 version of Charlotte's Web.
Okay, and that blows my mind.
Yep. Charlotte's Web. How coincidentally, about a spider that uses her talent spinning a web to do good.
You know, looking through his discography, there's a lot of movies that he did in the 80s and the 90s that we've watched all of our lives. We still know these movies, but I didn't know it was Danny Elfman that did all of the music for that film.
Right.
For example, I'm going to start throwing some out.
Okay.
So he did Beetlejuice.
Yep.
And then he did Big Top Pee Wee in 88 also.
Big Top Pee Wee kind of blows my mind a little bit, because I mean, Elfman does have a very distinctive way of, you know, that his music sounds, but Big Top Pee Wee is not in that Danny Elfman kind of vibe. No?
Yeah, you know, it seemed more like classic carnival music.
Right.
You know, and it was, and hey, testament to Danny, I suppose.
Absolutely. The man is, the man's talents are bottomless.
Well, in the same year, he did the entire score for Scrooged. If you want to do a couple of Christmas movies, of course you're going to do Nightmare Before Christmas, but...
He did Scrooged?
Hmm?
He did Scrooged.
He did Scrooged in 88, and then after Scrooged, he went on and did Batman in 89, and I had no idea. That blows me away.
That is insane.
Oh, and then in the next year, in
1990, he did the entire soundtrack for Nightbreed, Clive Barker's
No fucking way.
He did the soundtrack for Nightbreed. I had no idea.
Nightbreed. Clive Barker's Nightbreed. Yeah.
Yes.
Fucking A, that was one of my all-time favorite movies in that era.
You had no idea, did you?
No. No clue. No clue. Batman, yes. Batman, that was Elfman. Absolutely.
Keep in mind, this is 2 years after Batman.
I know! So, okay, I will have to bow to Elfman's claim that he refuses to use one specific, you know, he doesn't have a, you know, quote, this is Danny Elfman.
Obviously. You know, I said that literally 10 minutes ago, and now that's all washing away completely. I was wrong. and it gets better. So
okay.
Same Nightbreed came out. After Nightbreed, he did Dick Tracy.
Okay, I did know that.
Okay. And he also did Darkman, which was the second movie where I was like, who is this sound?
Right.
And then he did Edward Scissorhands. All of the
1990s. Yeah, Edward Scissorhands was very distinctly what we think of as Danny Elfman sound.
Oh, yeah. At this point, now we know, and we're starting to pick up what he's laying down. And then in the next year, he did Batman Returns, and he did Nightmare Before Christmas in 93, the year after that. So, definitely established.
Now, see, the thing about it is, the movies that he works with Tim Burton, Burton wants that specific Elfman sound.
Yeah, but I think that I think it's a component. I really, really do. I really think that Elfman helps Burton greatly. You know, it's all about sound also with Burton. You know, it's not just the visuals, it's not just the story, but you definitely, he's probably the director that I think of that uses music the most effectively in cinema.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he's like Elfman.
Well, Tim Burton is, he's a loyalist. He wants to put people, he wants to employ people with his films that are loyal to him, that he's loyal to. That's why he uses Helena Bonham Carter. That's why he uses Johnny Depp. That's why he uses Danny Elfman. That's why you have the same cast of characters in a lot of his films, because he is a loyalist.
And they share that vision. You know, I think they're all loyal to each other, certainly.
Well, right. And, you know, in a city like Hollywood, when there is no such thing as loyalty, a lot of times, it's, you know, it's not something to be poo-pooed away or overlooked. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like I said, there is a certain expectation when you see the names Tim Burton and Danny Elfman. You expect a certain type of music, which is what you get.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I asked the question earlier about the two films that were not Elfman conducted.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I had no idea that he had branched out and done so much other stuff.
Other films. He actually contributed about a third of the soundtrack in 1996 to the original Mission Impossible film with Tom Cruise.
Whoa, really?
And in the same year, he did Mars Attacks. And
yes.
In 97, he did Men in Black, and he also did Jesus Christ. He did Flubber. Anyway.
You didn't like Flubber.
I had no idea on this one. I think you could probably speak on this because you've spoken about this film before. He did the score in 97 for Good Will Hunting?
That's not one of the ones I've spoken on.
Had we?
I've never seen that movie.
We talked about Good Will Hunting before, right? Maybe it was a Robin Williams thing that we were.
I think it was a Robin Williams thing, but yeah, I've never seen the movie.
You know, I haven't. I've seen it in my life like 24 times in 5 to 7 minute snippets.
Oh wow!
And I know it's a great movie. You know, I don't know. I haven't gotten around to renting it, but I'm kind of surprised that he did Good Will Hunting. I know the sort of, you know, film.
Right.
You know, and then in 99, he did Sleepy Hollow.
Which is an amazing Christmas movie.
Did you know that he did the soundtrack for Red Dragon?
I did not until I started doing my research.
Yep, and is that not crazy?
Do you know who did the score for Hannibal Lecter?
Was it Shore?
Howard Shore.
Yep. That's awesome. Maybe there are some similarities that you and I should explore between these two composers.
Well, here you go. You want similarities? I got similarities for you.
Yeah.
All right. He and Howard Shore have both formed bands, Oingo Boingo, the Blues Brothers. Both scored films for Peter Jackson, The Frighteners in 1996, and Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring in 2001, and others.
Sorry, The Frighteners, sorry.
Both of them have scored films for Tim Burton. Elfman scored everything but Ed Wood in 1994, which Shore scored. And both scored a Hannibal Lecter film, Red Dragon in 2002, and The Silence of the Lambs in 1991.
Good Lord. Wow. You know, I'm surprised, but I'm kind of not surprised, and I'm impressed, gentlemen.
I'm telling you.
That's awesome.
And of course, you know, he's married to Bridget Fonda.
Yes.
Yeah,
that famous family.
Oh, goodness. Although he and his wife both kind of disavow the family.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely doing their own thing, interdependent of anyone.
Right.
Much less family and friends.
And I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, they really don't give a fuck. I have learned, and you know, and I absolutely understand it being a toreador. You know, Tom has to kind of do the, you've got to have kind of a face, you've got to have agents in place, you have to do press releases, and that's how we do it in the 21st century. Johnny kind of, sort of does, if not litigation gets involved, and he's like, oh, fuck. Just the world is just like, sorry, Johnny, like the world.
Oh, yeah.
Being said, it takes the world. You know, some little peon in a fucking post office line isn't going to give Johnny Depp any trouble. That being said, it seems that Danny Elfman is kind of that guy that's like, I truly, deeply do not give a fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's respectable. I do think, you know, if we were kind of wrapping it up and giving a final analysis, he's a little formulaic for me. You know, we know that it's Danny Elfman. Sorry, I think he's got a sound. That being said, I love the sound, and I can't wait to hear what he does, because he's going to take that unique thing and make it unique again.
Yeah, and make it bigger and better and enlarge it, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I really do like Danny Elfman.
I have a quote. This is from Danny Elfman discussing working with Tim Burton. People expect us to have some invisible shorthand, but it never gets any easier. Tim is just as complex right now, maybe more so every time I play music for him. I'm as nervous as I ever was that first occasion. Countless times I've played something and watched him put his head in his hands and start pulling at his hair. I've never been unhappy with where we ended up, but most of the time we've had to spiral around quite a bit to get there. You have to be half composer, half psychiatrist.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I suspect Friend as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, see, Tim Burton actually believes in that construct that, you know, we call friend.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of people in Hollywood don't.
Indeed. You know, actually, just posing this question to you, obviously Johnny and Danny have hung out. I mean, they know each other.
Oh, yeah.
What do you suppose that relationship is like?
I don't compose music because I don't write music. Mm. However, I'm one of those really weird people that has a soundtrack going on in my head at all hours of the day and night.
Yeah.
So, I can imagine that Danny and Johnny, Danny would have a running theme going on in his head every time he's hanging out with Johnny, you know, with the dips and the highs and the lows. And I bet if you asked him, he could give you the score of Johnny's relationship with Amber.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? You know, the pretty, gorgeous, you know, intertwining melodies to begin with, and then the discordant separation in the middle, and then the clash at the end. I'm sure he'd come up with it.
Mm. Now you're just... Damn it, you're setting me on a fan fiction that no one can create. Well, and hear me out. Johnny is an accomplished and fantastic musician. You can be an accomplished musician but not be great. He's actually a great musician also.
Right.
And Danny is too.
He is.
And they are the same age, and they listen to a lot of that kind of California stuff. You know, we've examined a little bit of Johnny's taste.
Right.
And I think that they would be interesting in a collab.
I think they would be amazing, and I don't think there would be the usual issue of too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Right.
Johnny is more content when someone tells him where they need him to be, what direction they need him to go.
What's best for the song.
Right. Instead of Johnny being like, no, I think you should do this.
Okay, no. I see where you're coming from. He is definitely collaborative.
Yes.
He's not trying to be the composer.
Absolutely. It would be like him and, oh God, the gentleman that just passed away when they were on tour.
Phil Collins?
No! Phil Collins died?
No, but he had to cancel his tours because his health is fucking really bad.
Don't do that to me!
Well, I mean, all of us are pretty much any day now, Phil.
Hey! You leave my Phil alone.
He's that bad off, babe. Uh-huh. Anyway, yeah, who are you talking about?
Johnny was on tour with him. I was really pissed off because they were coming through the East Coast, and the one tour they had in Atlanta was the date right before Johnny joined them. His buddy, God, what was his name?
Let's see. Accessing. Oh my God, right. Oh my God, you're right. Jeff Beck.
Thank you, Jeff Beck. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm so sorry, gentle listener. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, but I could see Johnny and Danny collaborating like Beck and Johnny did.
Yeah, some guitar-based stuff. You know, Danny's actually a really great guitarist.
They actually, Jeff and Johnny have one on Johnny's official TikTok page. You can go and look it up.
Or a collab?
Yeah, it's a collaboration between Jeff Beck and Johnny Depp.
Nice.
Oh God, I'm trying to think of the name of the song. All you gotta do is go to Johnny Depp's official TikTok page, look for the little blue check. You know the deal, guys.
Yeah, we should actually be doing that at the end of the show. And by the way, don't forget the TikToks of these guys.
Oh yeah. Oh, and we're at about 10 minutes out, so let's go ahead and do that. Couple of TikToks to pay attention to, guys. Michael Maher, M-A-H-E-R, is a really good one to check out.
Okay.
Big Sexy 81. I love her. She is a 6'5" lesbian living in a very small town.
Uh-huh.
The guy with the hair. Everybody knows who he is. Slim Sherry, Grandma's Got Problems, and, what is the name of the duo? It's a father and son that do a lot of voiceover joke type things. They're hilarious. Anyway, those are mine. So what are yours?
For TikTok?
Yeah.
I don't really do a lot of TikTok. I'm at 50, so I'm at the cutoff date. I still do Call Me Chris. She's really cool. She does some really interesting imitations, and she likes Marvel stuff, and she's pretty cute and funny. Call Me Chris, K-R-I-S.
That's another one, is Krim, C-H-R-I-M as in crimson. He does American Sign Language. Any donations that go to him go to help kids with hearing disabilities.
And I'm still going on about Auntie Boy. I don't know. I'm trying to get a hold of him, Auntie Boy. I challenge you. I challenge you, dude. Fam, I challenge you.
Hey, guys, you got a challenge. Auntie Boy, give us a call. All right, guys. Your Traveler. PlayStation is Traveler. Hello? Well, seems we lost Carrie. Don't know what happened there. Anyway, I believe it's Traveler 33. What's your Traveler?
So Traveler 2300. 2300.
All right, and then that's on PlayStation Network.
Yeah, and then you can reach me at Hotmail, which I check every day, Mako, M-A-K-O, 3303, no spaces, at hotmail.com.
And then, of course, we've got Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners at yahoo.com, which is our email address. We also have our dedicated phone line at 772-985-0063. That's 772-985-00-ME. And leave us a message. We'll get back to you. You can also reach us through the blog, which is deppheadshiddlestoners.com, or you can go to berryreese.net and click on the link.
Yep.
Is that everything?
Yeah, that wraps it up.
I do believe that's everything, guys. Next time, we will be broadcasting from, hopefully, sunny Florida. We'll see you then.
Love and peace.
Peace and love, guys. Take care of each other.
Bye-bye.
Bye.